Listen, find your way to 1 Corinthians 13. That's where we're at. And we are walking through what this idea, this concept of love is, and why Paul places it in such a spot as he's dealing with the church in Corinth. But let me just read our context so we understand. And remember, I'm kind of picking this apart and out of order, but I promise we'll sew it all back together someday. He says in 13 verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, yet. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. This morning, we are looking at this concept of love always persevering or enduring all things, as we see there in verse 7. Last week, we looked at how love hopes all things, and the idea of hoping for the best circumstance, the best in the context of the body of Christ and how we treat each other, because we know that we're hoping that the same deposit of that Holy Spirit of God Himself that is in you is in them. And so we hope for the best. We hold out for the best until and unless something changes, right? So when we come to this concept, this is an interesting word that Paul uses, that love endures all things. If you think about life, isn't life about endurance? It's not a sprint, right? I mean, some of you up there in years, you've been around a while. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at my notes right here. You know endurance. You know what it means to get up and go to work every day for years. You know what it means to endure friendships, hardships, jobs, ugly bosses, and such. You know what it means to endure in a marriage. Huh? Come on. Some of you are looking at your spouse like, yeah, buddy. Some of you know what it means to endure in salvation, in your walk with the Lord. Literally, it means to stay under or remain, to abide or to endure or to put up with. How many of you are putting up with something in your life? Don't look at the person next to you. Yeah, we all are enduring life in a sense. We are enduring some of the things, and it's not all so bad, hopefully. But there are some good things that you are remaining under. There's some good things you're enduring through. Hopefully you would say salvation is one of them. You're enduring it until the end. You know that something greater is on the other side of all this we call life. But we do see this word. Let's look at the word first, and then we'll plug it into the context of what Paul is getting at here. Walk with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you're not sure where that is, you know where you need to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you see your neighbor struggling, and you tell him where to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get in verse 10 here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, he says, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect." It's Paul saying, he's writing to Timothy, he's talking about Paul putting up with the church. How many of you got to put up with church? I'm glad nobody's agreeing to that. He's saying, Paul's saying, I endure everything. I endure what's happening to me, the persecutions, right? The prison, the chains, all of that stuff. I endure it for the sake of the church because I want the church to know that they can do it, right? That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, he says. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. We understand that. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We understand that. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Uh-oh. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What's the difference there? He just said if we deny him, he'll deny us. But then he says that even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Denying him, the first one would be an outright, I don't believe. I don't believe in God. I don't have faith. I reject it all. And in that sense, remember what Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. Ouch. Yeah. It's that concept of outright saying, I don't believe. But the second part, when we are faithless, come on now, let's be honest. I know we're in church. You ever been faithless? Or lacking a little faith? Your faith has been less than what it should be, perhaps. And in that concept, it's not you're rejecting God. You're struggling. You've struggled before. You're struggling in that darkness, in that cloud of whatever it is. And this is a beautiful promise, church. Hear that. Even when we're faithless, guess what? He remains faithful because why? He has deposited himself in you and he cannot deny it. That was for somebody. Even when I don't have it, he's still there because he has truly and faithfully deposited that Holy Spirit, that thing inside of me that helps me hold on. So this idea of endurance, Paul says, if we endure, we've got to endure even through those hard times, even through those faithless times. He is still with us. Go over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, let me pick it up in verse 32. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, in other words, after you came to Christ, he's not talking about a Buddha under a tree somewhere, when you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. In other words, when you came to the Lord, it got worse. This flies in the face of some of these knucklehead preachers that are saying, just come to Jesus and all will be well. He'll pay your bills. He'll do whatever it is. He'll get you that Lamborghini you always wanted. Paul says, no, some of you came and it got worse for you. The persecutions increased, all of this. He says, 34, for you had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Ooh. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. That reminds me of something we talked about this morning, right? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back, amen, and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. That endurance is what this writer is getting at. He wants us to understand, listen, you need endurance to do the will of God. Being a Christian ain't for wimps, right? You need that endurance, that long-term sort of passion, that long-distance running endurance, sort of say, to do the will of God, because when you have done it, you will receive what is promised. There are two things I see promised in this verse. One, if you shrink back, it ain't going to be good. But if you endure, preserve your soul, right? Man, I need endurance, don't you? Just flip over to chapter 12 of Hebrews. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This is another sort of aspect of discipline. Of endurance. We see that we're called to run the race. To run the race that God has given you. Life. We don't know how long it's going to be. But we run it with endurance. Why? Because we know that so much lies in the balance. And he tells us, listen, this is how to sort of make that run doable. Don't add extra weight on you. Is it today that's the Duke City Marathon? It's coming up soon. I saw something on it. Could you imagine somebody, strapping on a backpack and all these sorts of things to be able to run 26 miles? I can't even run 1 mile. 26 miles with all that weight. We'd say, you're foolish. You're not going to make it. There's no way you're going to make it. And here he's saying, listen, if you start packing all that stuff on you, why? You run with endurance. And we look to who? We look to Jesus, right? The author and perfecter. He did it. And he says, even consider him who endured from sinners stuff that he didn't even deserve. Yet he endured it. He tells us, don't grow weary. In other words, don't wimp out. Don't wimp out in your struggle against these sins, because guess what? You haven't shed blood over it. It hasn't gotten that bad for you. And he sheds this sort of different light on perhaps a reason for this feeling that you're having, this thing that you're going through. And one of the possibilities could be discipline. Yeah, I know. We don't like that idea, because God's just supposed to love us and love us only, and never mind about our sin. He's just supposed to deal with it and put up for it because he's loving God. No, here is very clear, and in many other passages, God disciplines the one he loves. And Paul says here, endure it. Suck it up, soldier. Especially if you brought it on yourself. Note to self, don't do that again. Right? Endurance. Go to James, just one book over. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. What is he speaking about? Endurance. You remain steadfast under trial. Why? Because after the test, you receive the crown, and that test could be lifelong. But endurance is what is going to get you there. Now, Jesus also talked about endurance. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You might not like this one, but hey, get over it. Matthew chapter 10. Look with me in verse 21. He's talking about basically end times, this persecution that will come. And not necessarily even just end times, but just the idea that you stand for Christ in a world that doesn't. And look at 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and child will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end, what? Wait a second now. Wait a second now. I've got to make it through this. I've got to hold on to my faith. I got to hold on to Jesus through all of these things. And of course, the list goes on behind it of what's going to happen. But I got to endure. I can't just give up and quit. Thank you. Look at Matthew 24. We know what Jesus is talking about here, but let me just focus on one verse. 24:13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Back up. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, there's going to be folks who give up and fall out of this race. There's going to be people who leave the church and come to the church. There's going to be folks who say, you know what, this Jesus thing just isn't for me. I'm going to go follow the world. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. And Jesus says, now the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is a lifelong race. The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ is the moment you said, I do. I do until it's done. And because you're sitting here this morning, you ain't done. You might feel like you're done. Yet and but, you're not done. Yeah? He's still got work for you, and he's still got a purpose and a meaning in life. And so this idea of endurance equaling salvation, endurance in my salvation, means I got to hold on. I've got to continue to encourage myself, those around me. I come to church and I get encouraged. All of this plays a part in our endurance. It's like we're all running this race and we just come alongside each other on Sunday mornings and say, come on, you can do it. Just one more. You got this. One more mile, one more step, right? You got this. That's part of church. So you might say, okay, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians. Didn't Paul already cover this when he said love is patient? Doesn't that cover this, Pastor? I mean, he's already said we got to be patient through all of this. And I believe there's a difference that Paul wants us to know. There's a difference between patience and this concept of endurance or perseverance. And here's what it is. Patience is for the moments. Endurance is for the mile. Chew on that for a minute. Patience is for the moments. Perseverance or endurance is for the miles. Because they're going to be long some days. And they're going to be dark some days and cloudy some days. But guess what? You can do it. One foot in front of the other. You're an overcomer. You're victorious because of what Christ has put inside of you. So you think of your own life. Where do you need endurance this morning? How's your prayer life? Some of you are like, he saw me. Is it one of those scrub-a-dub-dub kind of prayer lives? Scrub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub and you're done. Is there endurance and perseverance in prayer? How about when you read your Bible? Do you? And I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I read mine for 3 hours a day. I'm not talking about that. Are you getting anything from it? Right? But scripture reading, do you need endurance there? Maybe you need endurance in serving. Sometimes it's hard to serve. Sometimes you feel you know God's called you to do it, but sometimes you just feel like, you know what, I need to take a nap. And that nap lasts, you know, months perhaps. So in serving, sometimes we need endurance. We need to recapture the moment when God called us to do this. Sometimes it's in giving. We need endurance in giving. And I'm not just talking about your tithe and offerings in church, but in giving to others. Sometimes we need endurance to be able to do that. And I thought about it. Well, how do we do it? We're talking about spiritual stuff, but how do we do it in the real in our real world, in the physical side of the house? What if I wanted to lose weight? I'm not saying I do. Actually, I should. What if I wanted to lose weight? What would help me? Well, I'd need the motivation, the why. Why do you want to lose weight? Well, you know, to be healthy and all sorts of things, and I don't want to go out and buy another larger size of pants and such, right? Whatever it is that motivates you. But I need something, though. I need the why. Why do I need to lose weight, or why do I want to lose weight? So I transfer that over to the spiritual side of the house. Why do I need to be more prayerful? Why do I want more scripture understanding? Why do I need to serve? I need a why, right? Then I need maybe some accountability. How many of you have tried to do it on your own and, you know, just look at you, right? We've tried it on our own. We've tried to quietly diet or something. We've tried to skip the buffet tables. We've tried to do all of those, you know, missing the donut things and such. But we see other people eating them and they look very happy. And we want to be happy. But we need an accountability. We need somebody to slap it out of our hands and say, don't do it. We need to commit to this thing and say, you know what? I want you to hold me accountable. You see me in a donut, you punch me in the face or something like that, right? What do you mean, whoa? That's what it's going to take. Yeah. But I need accountability. I need somebody who's going to call me out. Otherwise, I know I'm not going to last by myself, right? I need a partner. I need somebody to come alongside. Hey, you said, right? Listen, this is accountability group right here. The person you're sitting next to. The ones you come and give high tens to, they're all holding you accountable, hopefully. When you miss, when you're absent for a time, whatever it is, right? When it looks like you're just going through something, it takes the person sitting next to you to say, hey, are you okay? You want to talk? We need to pray. What's up? You know, what's going on? It takes that accountability on the spiritual side of the house to encourage and endure, right? Maybe you have a physical goal of dropping weight. Maybe you could make a spiritual goal of memorizing a verse or something. But we set those goals and we keep those goals and we endure through the days of waking up not feeling like we want to do it. It's the same thing on the spiritual side of the house. This concept of endurance, we see it in the scriptures. Now, why does Paul put this in 1 Corinthians? We see all the previous all things, right, that he talked about. Each one of them, as we looked at them, love bears all things, believes, right, have boundaries, right, in the context of the full counsel of God. In other words, when we looked at bears all things, it doesn't mean that we just put up with everybody's sin and junk. And when we talk about believing all things, it doesn't mean that we're gullible and naive to falseness and lies. And when we looked at hopes all things, we hope until there's a reason not to, right? So there's boundaries and things set by God. So when we look at this, then
endures all things, what are we to endure? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's some answers to it. Look at 1 Peter with me, will you? 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4, look at 7 and following. You with me? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Similarly, if you go over to James, or back to James, excuse me, 5, verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I don't believe that these two writers, Peter and James, are talking about unconfessed sins. Sins that are still lingering, habitual, willful, what have you. But in the context of the body of Christ, he's talking about sins that have been confessed and are forgiven by whomever they were trespassed against, right? And perhaps in looking at these, the concept or what was in the writer's mind was something that was written in Proverbs 10:12 that says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. In other words, if you have sinned against me and I forgive you, which I should, right? Then it's buried and gone. It's dead. But the reality of it is going to take endurance and perseverance to keep it buried. You ever met people or been in an argument with somebody who goes back from the beginning of time and brings it all back on you, right? Well, when you were 5, or whatever, right? This is what Paul's saying, and he's using this in the context of pureness and love within the body of Christ. It covers. Pure love covers. It endures. It bears up under, and it keeps it covered. So if you have forgiven someone in here or someone in your life, especially another believer, you don't get to go back and dig it up. It's done. Or you have not forgiven them. But because you have forgiven them scripturally and biblically, because you have forgiven them that forgiveness in that sense, even before they have asked it, it'll take an enduring love to keep it buried. Sometimes when you're battling with somebody, your spouse or whomever, you might be tempted to go back. Let me get my shovel. Not to kill him, but to dig it up. Because back then you said, and you told me, and you treated me, and you said this to me, and you hurt, right? You hurt me, all of these things, right? Did you forgive them? Yes. Then endure the covering. It's gone. That must be so, as Paul is getting at here in the body of Christ. That's one of the things that makes us different. We don't keep records of wrong. Remember that one? We it's done. It's buried. But it takes, Paul says, as he says in 1 Corinthians, endures all things or perseveres. Yeah, and all the other meanings that we were talking about. But strictly in this context of the scriptures and of the church and of the body, meaning my love for you will keep it buried. Your past, your sin, whatever. I thought about that, and this morning I was thinking, could that be something like Jesus was saying about the whole 70 times 7? How could you do it? What's 70 times 7? 407? Yeah. Now, Jesus wasn't telling you to keep tally, and when you hit that mark, you're done? No. He was saying this, I believe, connected to this, what Paul and the other writers are saying, because love accompanies true forgiveness, and it will endure 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. Let's look at another example. I got to rush. You guys are slowing me down here. Romans 15, quickly. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Listen, if we don't have endurance and forgiveness in this body, we'll never get there. Because we'll be constantly rehashing your junk, your sin, whatever it was. He's saying endurance and encouragement. And the God who's God of endurance and encouragement, it brings with it the byproduct, or the effect of it is harmony with one another. The very same concept that Paul is talking about in Corinthians about why love is so important in the church. Listen, new Christians, they're going to make mistakes in the body, right? We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. We bear with them. We don't condone them. We don't say, oh, it's okay. We teach and we train and we correct and we rebuke, right? All of those things in love. But we teach. Endurance doesn't kick you out of the church at the first slip. Otherwise, hey, I'd have been gone a long time ago. But endurance bears with it. And it bears with it for a time. It celebrates progress and victories until a point, when all other means, or when that means are exalted and other action perhaps is needed. There are so many different understandings of this word, endurance and perseverance. God is forever endurance, has endurance forever, doesn't he? But he did it up to a boundary. Remember what he did with the people, with Moses, the children of Israel? He wasn't putting up with them forever. He had enough. Right, there's times and points in Scripture where God just says, suffering, we understand, according to Romans 5 and 2 Timothy 4, suffering produces endurance. Hebrews reminded us we got to endure under God's discipline. Romans here just told us we got to endure. Plus, the endurance with the Scriptures gives us hope. And so here Paul tells us the same. Love endures and perseveres. It fights for the best for miles. Has McDonald's ever messed up your order? Don't tell me you don't eat at McDonald's. I know you. Of course they have. They put onions when you ask for not. More pickles. They just gave you one. Whatever. Yet, you go back. Do we have more endurance with our favorite restaurant than we do with a brother and sister in Christ? Some leave churches for the smallest of reasons. For those who are married in here, your spouse has made mistakes. Don't be counting them now back in your brain. I hope you're not planning on leaving. Then why not? Because you have made this commitment to love. Your love overcomes those mistakes, those shortcomings. Because of your commitment and devotion and endurance. Endurance. You forgive. And so we see love always protects, and it always trusts, and it always hopes, and it always perseveres or endures. Now, maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what? If I'm honest with myself, I quit too easy. I'm like the person who goes to the gym and rides for about 5 minutes and I'm done. Or whatever, the diet goes out the window by dinner time, right? I'll start tomorrow. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I quit too easy. I quit too easy on people. They stress me out, they make me mad, whatever it is, and I just give up. Maybe this morning you need endurance like me. Maybe this morning we need to endure out of love, which covers a multitude of sins, confessed sins. Father, we are thanking you for the challenges that we are seeing here about what true love looks like. And forgive us, maybe where we have given up too quickly. Maybe we misjudged somebody or offended or what have you, Lord. Forgive us when our minds want to dig back into the past and just really hurt them with something they did. Father, help us to know what it truly means to forgive, to cover that out of love, and through endurance and perseverance, keep it covered in the context of love and in this church. Oh, Lord, we promise to give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.